Well, good morning and welcome again on this beautiful morning. I do greet you in the name of Jesus, and I'm thankful again for his word that we have to gather around. I'm not here to present anything of my own. We have the word. At the same time, though, that makes me tremble just a little bit up here this morning, because it is God's word, and I am a fallible human. And I make mistakes. I can misrepresent. And so I don't want to do that this morning. And I do welcome your input into my life, the brother from the brotherhood here, your loyal opposition. I appreciate that. So this morning, you can turn to Colossians 3, verse 3. It's the text verse here that I want to use for this morning. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, there's a lot of ways we can go with that, but I remember wrestling with that verse, that truth, as a youth. It was in a sermon. A minister, I don't even remember who it was, he had brought out the fact that if we are hidden in Christ, then you shouldn't see me. If we're hidden in Christ, you shouldn't see me. Shouldn't be self. You should see Christ when you look at my life. And that thought has stuck with me, and I've thought about it over the years, just different times. Now, I believe this verse, he's saying here, I believe this happens at conversion. So he says, he's talking to Christians here. We'll go through the chapter here a little later. But for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So at conversion, we die to self, we surrender our wills, and our lives are hid in God with the blood of Jesus. It's with Christ's blood that we can be hid in God. But there has to be physical effects of that. It has to be evident. And I guess that's what I would like to look at here this morning, some of those implications. What does that look like? What is that? Me being hid in Christ, what does that look like? Yes, it's a spiritual thing, but it has these physical effects. And as we go on in our Christian life, it seems like somehow, oh, we talked about it this morning, you lose our first love. And it's so easy. We're human, and we do. And as we go on in our Christian life, it seems we forget our identity in Christ. At least I do. I forget who I am in Christ and start to build my own identity, all about me. And so this morning, I want to try to give a visual and see some of these physical implications of this verse, and as it relates specifically to identity. We could go a lot of ways with being hid in Christ, but I'd like to think about it in that aspect. And of course, studying for this kind of took me back to my youth and youth group, and there's a lot of identity issues. Identity becomes a big deal when you get in the youth. Naturally, it just is. We want to fit in. And I care about the youth here, and our youth group is growing. That's good. That's great. So my prayer is I can be an encouragement to the youth here this morning. Not just to the youth, though. All of us. That we can be encouraged. That we can be reminded who we are in Christ. So first of all, I would like to talk about identity just a little bit. Get a little picture of identity. What is identity? And I would like to draw a diagram for that. If you study into the theology of personal and social identity, it's deep. And there's lots of it's complicated. But we're going to try to keep it simple this morning. So this is me. You, and there are some factors of identity that are not changeable. Static factors that stay the same, or you don't have a choice in. So they would be nationality. Your gender. Siblings. And parents.
part of our identity. Your age, we'll put them all up here. Physical features. And abilities. So we're born with these features, these abilities. It's who we are. And then there are dynamic factors, or factors that change, that we can change as part of our identity. I'm going to put personality in that group. That one's not as changeable as some, maybe, but I do feel like in Christ it can change. Friends. Yes, your friends are part of your identity. All you have to do is read the story about Jesus. He sits down with sinners and the Pharisees. He's like, wait, what are you doing? His identity. They were all concerned about identity. They didn't want to identify with the sinners, but Jesus did. Occupation. That back there. Possessions. Let's put possessions. That could include vehicles, houses, you name it. And then there's some very fluid ones like speech. Actions. Music could be one. Dress could be one. And so these become, or these are, our identity. It's who we are. It's what people see that identifies us. And like I said, some of these are fixed. Some of these we can't change. And some of these we can change. And some of these we change very easily, like speech and actions, depending who we're with. We can try to identify as something different. And then where it gets complex is, you know, these can be combined in any different way. And that's what gives each one of us a unique identity, if you will. Because every one of these is a little different for everybody. And so it gives us our unique identity. Now, our natural tendency is to focus on identity. I remember you get into the youth groups like, who am I? And so we try to figure out who we are. We try to see where we fit in and what is my identity. We try to make our own identity, you know, where we want to fit in. And the problem that can come with that is then we tend to categorize, and that categorization lays a groundwork for bias and prejudice and favoritism. As soon as we have that groundwork of, I see a division here, oh, I want to be part of this group. And so we try to identify with that group. And our perceived social identity will influence our values and our choices. If I perceive, and I say perceive because, so I think that I fit into this group. So that's going to influence my values, what I put value on. If this group values this, I'm going to value that, and I'm going to make choices accordingly. And so it plays out in our lives in a very real way. And one other thing I should put on here is, so I mentioned about how our identity, creating categories for our identities, it can very quickly lead to social divide. I just want to put that here. Social divides can happen based on that identity, based on our identity. And then one more thing on this identity before we move on is, so if our perceived social identity influences our values and our choices, it can tend to fuel a trend. Because now I perceive them in this group, and so I'm going to make choices accordingly to fit into this group, and it all it does is fuels the direction of that group, wherever they're headed. And so you can end up with groups splitting because we just continue to fuel that drive. Where does that stop? It can become a drive in our life. That's what drives us. Where I am, my identity. On social media now, that's a big thing. That's what people live for. It's who I am. We try to show who we are, try to build our identity. So what does Colossians 3 have to say about identity and social divides? And so I would like to just work through this chapter here a little bit and see if we can get a little bit of a picture of what hidden in Christ might look like. So Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So right away we see here that we're supposed to be seeking eternal treasures, not our earthly treasures, not our earthly identity. Verse 2 kind of builds on that thought. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Or set your minds, in other words, is another way that it would translate, set your mind on things above. Think on higher things. You mean I don't have to be consumed about pursuing my social image? No. Set your mind on higher things, not earthly things. And then verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Dead. We're dead. And that's a hard thing. We are dead, and our new life is hid with Christ in God. And if we jump back, Colossians 2:12 has a thought that is similar. Just back a chapter, Colossians 2:12. I'm just breaking in here, but he says, buried with him, buried with Christ in baptism. So if you're buried, you're hidden, right? You don't see it. You're underground. You're buried. Buried with him, with Christ, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so I wanted to pull that thought there. It's kind of the same idea that when we die, or in verse, when Christ, who is our life, I'm sorry, verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are buried with Christ. Our old life is buried. And verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, so that old life is dead, now Christ is our life. He is our identity. He is our life. And we see here that there is a physical resurrection in verse 4 in chapter 3. And ye shall, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I believe he's talking about his return and our resurrection to be with him. But in chapter 2, verse 12, he is talking about a spiritual resurrection. He says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So there is a physical resurrection at the end of time, but there's also a spiritual resurrection that we have now. Life in God. That hidden life in God. Verses 5 through 9, then, I'm going to read in the Amplified here. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desires lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry. It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices. But now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, bad feelings toward others, curses and slander, foul-mouthed abuse, and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old, unregenerated self with its evil practices. So I'd just like to look at a few things here as it relates to identity, our physical identity. So he says in verse 5 there at the end, all greed and covetousness. And greed and covetousness is something that goes can go along with our personal physical identity. We want what other people have so that we, if only I had that, I could fit in. If only I was more good looking, I would be accepted, whatever that is. And so we can have that greed and covetousness for our identity, or we want things that are not ours. And then he also goes down in verse 6. Verse 8. Bad feelings toward others. That's how he is in there in the Amplified. Bad feelings toward others. Whew, that's a real one when we live for physical identity. We have social divides, and they very quickly can spark bad feelings for others because of life's not fair. They have an advantage and we don't. And so we have these bad feelings based on our identity. And then he says in the last verse that we read, verse 9, do not lie to one another. And I first was like, why did he stick that in there? Do not lie to one another? What's that have to do with? I mean, okay, it's wrong, right? Obviously, it's a sin. We should not do that. But do we ever lie with our identity? We do. At least we can. It's pretty easy to do, actually. Let's just look at a couple chapters here, just a couple references. Matthew 26, 69 to 74, very familiar account here of Peter. Matthew 26. I'm going to jump in at verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone, out unto the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Identity. His speech betrayed him. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And we know the story. But he was trying to hide identity. And first of all, his speech identified him with Christ. And he didn't like that. And so he begins to curse and swear and say, no, I don't know him. So let's change our speech so that we can identify with, not with Christ. Do I do that? 1 Samuel 21. I'm going to read 10 through 15. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish saith unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And he sent him away. But here we have David lying about his identity. He was identifying as a lunatic. He lost his mind, scrabbled as is scratching. He was scratching on the doors and letting his drooling. And so he identified as a lunatic. And it saved his life in this case. But he fooled the king by identifying, changing his actions to identify as something else. That's an interesting story, though, and I always was amazed. I don't know if I would be that quick thinking. It's pretty admirable of David to think of that. But let's go to one more here, 1 Kings 22. 29 to 34, just a few verses here in 1 Kings 22.
And again, it's another story you know. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, which was would have been Ahab here, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had ruled over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And you know how the story goes. He was killed in the end anyway by a man who drew his bow at venture. But the point here is he fooled people with his identity, with his clothing. In this case, you dress up like a king, I'm going to dress up like a regular man because they want the king. And so if I disguise myself, then they will not identify me. And so we can lie with our dress. And especially with these very fluid ones that we can just change from one day to the next. We can lie. And he says here, back to Colossians 3, he says, lie not one to another. Our identity is in Christ. Verse 10. So verse 9, he says, put off the old man and his deeds. Verse 10, back in the KJV. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, which would be God. God created us. And this new man that we put on is after the image of God. It is a more perfect image of God. The renewed in knowledge, says here, which becomes our new identity. We are in Christ. This better, more perfect image of Christ. So Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Ephesians 4:22-24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we put on this new man, and in verse 11 he says, where there is neither. So in this new identity, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. What's he saying? Social divides disappear when we are hidden in Christ. Well, how does that happen? They just vanish? Well, let's read on here. And verses 12 through, you could say 17, there are things in here that are put on when we put on this new man or this image of Christ, when we surrender ourselves and put this new man on. And I would like to list them up here. And if you just want to call them out, that would be great. Starting in verse 12.
Bowels of mercy.
Mercy. I'm just going to put mercies.
Kindness. Humility.
Humility.
Meekness.
Meekness.
Charity, which we could define as, it is love. I think the Greek word there would have the idea of a benevolence.
Oh, That's most of the obvious ones there. You could also, we could go on down and verse 15, the peace of God. Be ye thankful.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for that. And there may be a few others you could pull out of there, but, oh, verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I do want that. There you
go. Get this a little high. All in the name of the Lord.
So, when we put on this new man or this image of God, this more perfect image of God, this becomes our identity. Now, again, most of these things are spiritual or mental things, but they will affect our identity. They have to, if we are truly surrendered, if we're truly dead. So, but we must be truly hidden in God. And these things will, for example, so let's say, well, if you have joy, that's going to show in your speech. If you have humility, that'll probably show in your dress, and maybe it will show in your personality. It will show most likely in your possessions. If you have kindness, that's going to show up in your friends. You're going to have all kinds of friends. The list goes on. These are fixed identities, don't necessarily change, but when we are identified in Christ, they no longer become the focus. It no longer matters. You may still be fair-skinned, or you may have acne. You may have the new car, or you may have the old. But it really doesn't matter anymore. It's not the focal point. When people look at me, they will see Christ. They will see this new man. And they're not looking at my identity that I'm flaunting. Because I won't be flaunting it, because I'm hidden in Christ. And when I look at others, this is me and I'm looking out, I'm going to see them through this new image, this image of God. I'm going to see them with forgiveness. I'm going to see them with long-suffering, with meekness, humility. I'm going to see them through those attributes. And when we do that, this social divide just kind of goes away. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There aren't these social divides because it doesn't matter anymore. And my identity in Christ, my identity with Christ in God, will influence my values, which will influence my choices. And so it drives us in that direction. Now, we kind of touched on this already, but this coat of Christ, if you will, or this new man that we're putting on, isn't something we can just throw around a carnal heart. People have tried it, and I'm tempted to try it myself, to throw this around a carnal heart. Look good. I identify as a Christian. But it doesn't work. Self will show through. That's what we call a hypocrite. We don't want to be a hypocrite. At least I hope we don't. We can't just throw it around a carnal heart. And we go back to verse 3, for ye are dead. It takes a death. It takes a surrender before we can be hidden. As long as we're not surrendered, and as long as I'm not dead to myself, I can't be hidden. I can't be buried. And Paul said, I die daily. And that's what it has to be, at least in my life, just that daily dying, that daily laying down of myself so that I can be hidden in Christ. Let's jump back to Philippians 3 for a little bit here. It's Paul speaking. Philippians 3, and I'm going to start at verse 1. We'll read down to verse 11. Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh or our own personal identity. Therefore, I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He had a flawless identity. He had everything he needed to rise to the top ranks of his social division group. He was in whatever term you want to use there. He was in that group, and he had what it took. He had everything it took as far as personal identity went. Even fixed identity. He was born to the right people. He had it all going for him. But what's he say? Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Why? Why were they a loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He saw, it doesn't say it in so many words, but he saw that it was all about self. It was all about his personal identity, and it was all about self. It was all self-advantage. Christ wasn't in it. And he realized that. He saw that Christ was not in this. And he says, he counted all loss. He threw it all away. Why? Because he wanted to win Christ. And in verse 9, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In him, he wanted to be found in Christ. Not just wearing Christ as a robe on the outside, like he was in his former life. He looked good, he was doing the right things. And it was all going good for him. It was all for personal advantage. He realized Christ wasn't in it, and he wanted to be found in Christ. He wanted to die that death. He wanted to give up himself and be found in him. Not having his own righteousness. Verses 10 and 11. That I might know him. Why did he want to die this death? Why did he want to be found in Christ? Why did he want to give up all his personal identity that was to his advantage? That I might know him. That I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I trust that is the desire of each one of us here, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death, that we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So I would like to just leave this question with you and with myself. Am I hidden in Christ? Am I hidden with Christ in God? Or is God hidden in me? Let's kneel for prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful morning. You've blessed us to gather in this way. Thank you, Lord, this morning for Jesus. Thank you for his death and his resurrection. And I thank you for the word that you've given us, your word that we know is truth. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, each one of us, to take your word to heart. Help us, Lord, to die to ourselves. Help us to die to that desire to build our own identity, to make something of ourselves, to make a name for ourselves. I just pray that you would help us to surrender that desire and just have a desire to be found in you, to be hidden in you. That when other people look at us, that when the world around us, they see Christ. They see Christ flowing through us. They see Christ making a difference in our lives. I just pray that we could go from this place and be a witness wherever you call us, whatever you have us do this week. Help us, Lord, to be hidden in you and to find that new life, that resurrected spiritual life that can be found in you when we guide ourselves. Just pray that you would bless the rest of our day. Help us, Lord, to bring you honor and glory with our lives as we go about our day and as we go about our week. Just pray this in Jesus' name.